The following is an audio podcast from the Korea Society. The Korea Society, in 2007, celebrating 50 years of promoting greater awareness, understanding, and cooperation between the people of the United States and Korea. For more information on our programs, please visit our website at www.koreasociety.org. The North Korean nuclear crisis has been defying resolution for years. However, the recent midterm elections in the U.S. and changes on the Korean Peninsula may finally break the impasse. What steps will it take to make progress at the renewed six-party talks? And what will a solution mean for the future of North Korea and the U.S. role in Northeast Asia? On November 21st, the Korea Society convened a panel of experts to address these questions. In the final part of our five-part series, Alexander Ilyichev, a senior political affairs officer with the United Nations, discusses the UN's stance on the issues and its potential role in implementing a resolution.
Alexander, will you give us your view of what's in store for the UN with a new Secretary General and with the six-party process as it is, and anything else you wish to say? Alexander is from Russia. And has been at the UN for a number of years. I have learned a tremendous amount from him. He's been to North Korea numerous times, and I'm very glad to have him here to add his perspective.
Thank you, Mr. President. I really feel honored to be here with you.
If you can't hear him, put your hand up. If you can't understand him, put your hand up.
Well, I probably will not be able to help with the last portion of the statement, but with the first, I will do my best. It's really a distinguished panel, but I always feel that I'm really lucky in life when I have a chance to listen and talk to Ambassador Gregg, and I mean it. I believe that this country, like any other country, is strong with the people who bring decency, integrity, and common sense to life. And this is what you are for me for many years. Like many others of you, and I really appreciate the fact that while it's only, it seems, unfortunately, that missile launches and nuclear tests that bring some countries or issues on the world's agenda, there should be much more to it. And actually, this much more probably would prevent further missile tests and nuclear tests and whatever else that bothers and disturbs all of us. About the UN perspective, I certainly am not in a position and will not comment on any policies, aspects of these policies, or actions by member states of the organization that I work for. I hope you understand it. I certainly did not come out with this subject of today's discussion, because to me it's not only North Korea, which is in the UN, DPRK. It should be the change also in the whole region of Northeast Asia. And actually, this whole situation is directly related to global changes in many ways. I certainly will not even pretend speaking for the incoming Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, because the transition process has just begun. I feel very strongly, positively about his publicly stated intention to pay more attention to the peninsula affairs, and I look forward to hearing in more detail about the specifics. Overall, I feel very positive and optimistic, not only because I was raised this way by my mother and to some degree father, but certainly mother. But also this optimism and this feeling I have is based on my professional experience and things that we know are happening and hope and will happen in the future. What I mean is, I'm saying it despite the fact and my belief that the Korean Peninsula represents in today's world probably, I certainly think so, the most difficult set of issues together compared to any other problem, human-made problem, because there are problems that not are done by humans that probably are more challenging. But human-made stuff, certainly, this unfinished Korean conflict, the coming back time and time again of this crisis, but every time at a more and more dangerous level, the complexity, the number of issues and problems that came together, unfortunately, there, and which still yet have to be resolved, that really makes it, I believe, I repeat, the most difficult set of issues to deal with. Having said that, it represents the challenges at different levels. Let's start about my optimism regarding the global level. At the global level, we're dealing, first of all, with the issue of non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, particularly the nuclear weapons. And frankly, this reaction that Ambassador Rivera mentioned in terms of the decision by the United Nations Security Council to absolutely clearly, resolutely, it was not only the Security Council, it was absolutely the overwhelming majority of the international community saying no to new members of this nuclear weapons club. There is no doubt in my mind that that message was and is very sound and clear. And there should be no doubt about it. And it should not be mixed with any ideologies, policies, preferences. No. That part should be clear. That at the global level, the no is there. When people talk about, what does it mean? North Korea is a nuclear weapon state. Yes, it is. But what I mean is, and that they will not be accepted in that capacity. My understanding is that the sanctions, and I'm glad that Ambassador Rivera said that we are dealing, and people don't understand. I was surprised to see, as part of the initial reaction, public reaction, media reaction, some commentators' reaction, which matters so much in today's world. That, well, this is a weak response. It is not adequate to the threat and danger presented by this development. Wrong. I have 5 years of direct experience in UN sanctions. Take my word. This is one of the most comprehensive and toughest set of measures. And it's not related to the country in question. Its system is directly related to this issue of nuclear non-proliferation. Of course, there is an ongoing debate and discussion among member states about the interpretation and specific meaning of specific measures envisaged by Resolution 1718. And it's very important to see how it will be resolved. But it's obvious, should be obvious by now, that those who are trying to use this vehicle, this set of measures, as the approach towards resolving the situation in the peninsula, probably will not achieve what they're looking for. Why? Because this is the second source of optimism. There was a need to react to the action taken by the DPRK. It's a different question that their story, their logic, I believe, their case was never really given a full hearing, why they're doing what they're doing. And I think that people also underestimate the creativity and the positive elements, constructive elements in the policies of the United States and other countries concerned. They certainly tend to underestimate what I believe was always there, but became so abundantly clear recently, how responsible and mature, and I'm sorry if I offend you, Mr. He, is the Chinese policy with regard to the peninsula and in the region. And again, China's policy is not motivated by this whether we like somebody or something or not. it's really the policy the way it should be, based on certain principles and staying by them. And if need be, taking very painful decisions. And I will not be surprised to find out that even in Beijing and in China, there are still different views about some nuances of it, as they should be. But overall, there is a tendency to simplify the things related probably to the most, I again repeat it, because this is what misses from so many people, the most challenging and difficult set of issues in the world today, which came together in the peninsula. Having said that, it's obvious that the coercive part of the story, I call it, just for this particular discussion, is set out loud and clear. But there is an emerging stronger voice that says to those who does not believe it, the sanctions will not resolve none of this controversy, whether somebody likes it or not. Like before, no more pressure or isolation with regard to DPRK had any hope of resolving this set of issues in a peaceful way. Of course, the ambassador mentioned it, and others who are familiar with these fabrics, they know that there is always, of course, the use of force option. But I don't think that anybody in their mind accepts as a viable, practical option, unless it will have to be a reaction or reply to something which should be prevented. So the part of a diplomatic component of this puzzle still has to be answered. I believe we are very lucky to have what most people really underestimate in terms of its breakthrough importance. There we have the joint statement of September last year. Of course, the ambassador kindly listed all the main ingredients of this element, but let me add one more, which the North Koreans believe the most important, and which is so far the only case for the United States during the last several years to be public about. The United States in this document, and it's a written document, sort of committed itself publicly not to attack or invade the DPRK. You have to understand that this document has all the ingredients to, and this I come to the global level of this challenge again, for the first time to provide the world, the international community, with a constructive solution to a case of nuclear proliferation. Constructive meaning there is no need to fight wars, to invade or occupy anybody, to get rid of this threat. This is what this joint statement, this agreement represents. This is the foundation which has and should have no alternative to it. It's constructive. It will be a peaceful solution, promising at the end not only to resolve the nuclear case on the peninsula, but also to bring harmony and stability to the whole Northeast Asia. I believe that the six-party talks and this process should result in harmonizing sometimes difficult relations among the countries in that region for historic reasons, which also have yet to be addressed properly and in full, so that the region, together with other major countries, could really unleash its potential, which will happen sooner or later. The UN perspective per se, in addition to on the sanctions and the implementation of the Security Council resolutions, both 1718 and the preceding one, 1695, it's an obligation by all member states and everybody else, including the United Nations Secretariat, to implement what the Council decided to have in place. Of course, member states are yet again to face another new challenge, because now the situation, the environment for reaching a diplomatic solution and actually practically implementing the joint statement has become more difficult. And I'm sort of downplaying the new difficulties. Because member states will have to reconcile the need and the obligation to implement the measures, the sanctions put in place by the Security Council, with the roadmap and practical steps to implement the joint statement. And it will not be as easy as it might look. It will be another challenge, but which is surmountable. There is no question about it. So they reconcile the sanctions with this diplomatic process. I believe that the Secretary General of the UN is able and should be of practical help in assisting the key member states, certainly the six direct participants in the talks, but also others in making this effort a success. How it will be done, let's be patient and see how it will happen. We are also facing another aspects of the situation related to the peninsula in the UN sort of environment. One of them is the looming humanitarian calamity in DPRK. Of course, after North Korea has terminated all what we call emergency humanitarian programs, we have very little presence on the ground in the country. Our programs there are mostly now either of a symbolic or a very little scope, including the current program of the World Food Program. But I will not surprise you if I tell you that if the situation does not change, we will have to close the World Food Program in January, because we don't have resources. We don't have the food, the cereals, even for this limited program. And there is no, basically, willingness on behalf of the donors to commit their resources to clearly suffering population in North Korea. Of course, the explanation is it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do everything with other emergencies, like in Darfur, and you name them. There are myriads of them all over the world. But we will have to face it because it's looming. Every indication we have goes in this direction. Another area of increasing attention in the international community is the situation with human rights in DPRK. Just 2 days ago, actually on Friday, we have the so-called Third Committee of the General Assembly, which deals with human rights issues, which passed another resolution, the second one. The first one was last year, talking about dealing or addressing the situation with human rights in DPRK. Of course, the international community is split on this issue. Our obligation is to deal with it. We have a human rights machinery in the UN. I would leave it to you to judge how effective it is. In my view, with all the noble intentions, the international community has yet to find any effective way of remedying human rights concerns and problems in the world, all over the globe. But the fact is, there is this issue. So, putting all together, I'm still positive that having our priorities right, having the foundation which is there for not only diplomatic, because diplomacy is sort of, people understand it differently, but certainly diplomacy is a way of reaching agreements. This is what I believe, and I have only 35 years of professional diplomatic experience, which is nothing, basically. But this is the essence of diplomacy, the willingness to negotiate and compromise without compromising on your principles. This is what diplomacy is about. Whether we're talking about the U.S. diplomacy, the Chinese diplomacy, actually DPRK diplomacy, when there is a political will, agreements do happen. People do find where their interests come together without compromising the principles, and things happen. I am glad that there is, among other areas of consensus, the consensus there is no alternative to diplomacy. It does not exist, whether somebody likes it or not. It does not exist. And let me recall, I was all the straight-A student, both in the school and then afterwards. I was actually, I have to tell you the truth, I was never good in physics. I was good at math, which helps to organize your thinking. Physics, no. But I still remember one of the several laws of physics, one of which says every action provokes counteraction, whether somebody likes it or not. And I believe that every positive action, every goodwill action, provokes a similar action. And this is the path that all of us have to follow. And I believe it's critically important that this subject, this debate, discussions related to, again, the most difficult and challenging set of issues in the world, is really becoming public domain as well. Public domain, thanks to the efforts of the Korea Society and the Asia Society as well. Thank you.
Well, my thanks to the whole panel. I think this was as rich an array of remarks as we've ever had here, and that's saying a lot because we have a lot of programs. My thanks to you all. I thought it went together extremely well.
The opinions expressed in this forum do not necessarily reflect those of the Korea Society.
The proceeding was a production of the Korea Society. For more information on our programs, please visit www.koreasociety.org.